I will save the sermon. I'll keep you in my thoughts and prayers for a later date. For those of you who keep track of these things, today's sermon title is When Jesus Calls Your Name. The story is familiar. It's about Jesus and Zacchaeus. As Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not on account of the crowd, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received the Lord joyfully. And when the crowd saw it, they all murmured, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Would you join me in the spirit of prayer? May those things said this morning, Lord, that are true be engraved upon every heart. Anything said that is false be quickly forgotten and cause no harm. In your name we very humbly pray. Amen. The text for today comes from that fifth verse of the gospel lesson I just shared with you. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. Many, if not all of you, know that song. Vacation Bible School, Sunday School. And it strikes me in that song, the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus has become so tame that it has lost any real relevance or meaning to us. We dismiss it simply as a child's song, but the profundity of the exchange between Zacchaeus and Jesus is much, much larger than some little children's song. Long ago, I came to the understanding or the belief that the stories that we read in Scripture are like theological mirrors that if we hold in front of our faces, we will see a reflection of who we are. And so recall for a moment that lesson that I just shared with you from the 19th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Which one of the three characters did you identify with? Was it Jesus, Zacchaeus, or was it the crowd? I hope it wasn't Jesus. If it was, we need to talk. It may have been Zacchaeus. You may have identified with the crowd. If there's one thing that I want you to come away from this morning's worship experience with, from this message in particular, I want you to come away with this truth, that when Jesus calls your name, things change. Things are forever changed. As I wrestled with the lesson, I had a number of questions come to my mind. You may recall that Luke was a very careful writer of his gospel story. All the gospel writers were. Their sole intent was not to give biography as we understand biography, but rather to give us theological insight as to who Jesus was, to ultimately point to the fact that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior. So what were some of the questions I wrestled with? Well, the first one was, why in the world was Zacchaeus looking for Jesus? After all, he was rich. What could he possibly want? And then I wondered if maybe something was missing from Zacchaeus' life. Maybe, despite his apparent success, there was a hole in his being, a God-shaped hole. And then I thought of the people I know, the people who are seekers. Many of us feel as if there's something missing in our life, that there is some type of hole that we just cannot fill, a longing, a hurt. And so we try to fill it with all kinds of things. Work, being really busy, making money, turning to drugs or alcohol or sports, or maybe the thrill of love, of being in love rather than in loving. Maybe it's marriage or children, becoming a helicopter parent. Maybe it is the adulation of others around us. The list is really endless. Maybe Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus, wanted to see Jesus, because he hoped beyond hope that Jesus could fill the hole that nothing else in this world filled. My wife makes jigsaw puzzles, and the last two jigsaw puzzles I bought her as gifts were sealed, and yet when she opened them and put them together, there was at least one piece missing. How can this be? Maybe there's a piece of us that's missing too. Maybe there was a piece missing in Zacchaeus' life, and he hoped that Jesus would be that missing piece. Here's another question, one I'm sure you haven't thought of, but one that is, I think, infinitely more interesting. Have you ever considered the possibility that maybe Jesus went to Jericho looking for Zacchaeus? There's an old hymn which I find to be difficult to sing, although Russell could possibly do a solo on it sometime coming up here, and Joel could accompany, but it's entitled, I Sought the Lord, and Afterward I Knew, and the first opening line is, I sought the Lord, and afterward I knew, he moved my soul to seek him seeking me. It was not I that found, O Savior true, but no, I was found of thee. Isn't it interesting that the first mention of Zacchaeus' name in the gospel lesson is when Jesus calls his name? Looking up at the sycamore tree where Zacchaeus was perched, Jesus calls out, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today. In other words, I must dwell, live with you. I must share your life. And the man, it strikes me, who climbed up that sycamore tree, who was short in stature or small in stature, came down as a giant of a man when he heard Jesus call his name, because there was absolutely no hesitation. And I believe that's true of each and every one of us. Once Jesus calls our name, once Jesus comes into our lives, once we recognize Jesus' claim upon our lives, once we decide that we are going to take Jesus seriously and make him more than a Sunday sometime thing, but an everyday thing, then we find that everything changes. The best way I can describe this change is that we become more generous. Now, I don't mean generous in a monetary sense, although that may be involved. I mean we become more generous in the way in which we live our lives, in our time, in our talents. We become more generous in forgiving other people. We become more generous in seeing the other person's point of view. We become more generous with people and with the world around us. We realize that we don't know what we don't know too often. And we avoid the trap of never being uncertain. In the midst of a growing generosity, We find that people who take Jesus seriously are slowly transformed into the very image of Christ himself. And I believe that that is what this world needs now. People who are willing to take Jesus seriously. It is what we need in our country. It is what we need in our city. It is what we need in our church. We need men and women who decide to take Jesus seriously and who become more generous and open to the movement of God in their lives, more willing to take risks in their lives for the glory of God, more willing no longer to play it safe but to go out into the deep waters, confident of the promise that God has given to us through Jesus Christ at the end of Matthew's gospel, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." The baptismal font that stands in our chancel area reminds us, as I said at a funeral service less than 24 hours ago in this very sanctuary, that baptismal font reminds us that the risen Lord is with us until the end of time, that there is nothing in this life or the next that could ever separate us from God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And the communion table that stands behind the baptismal font reminds us that it is God who gives us the faith to persevere in keeping the faith and doing the work of God's kingdom until our lives here on earth come to an end. And the candles that we lit and that burn on that holy table are nothing less than the voices of the saints who have gone before us, who call out to us, who show us the way of faith as best as they are capable. They are the saints who reside in the church triumphant and cheer us on in our own life journey. For those saints, for the story of Zacchaeus and Jesus, we can, I believe, say to God be the glory, both now and forevermore. Amen.